You tiny-brained whoppers of other people's bottoms!
Welcome to the Doghouse Bot Show. It is the Doghouse Bot Show, and if you don't know what that means, then you should listen to the Doghouse Unhinged. Thank you.
And I fart in your general direction.
And clack on my nose at you.
They couldn't make a bot for Warren. It couldn't spell the new language.
It went, hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. We are from Colorado.
Colorado.
That's how you say it in bot.
That's how you say it.
He might actually be right on
it. It could be.
We don't know.
That's right.
Oh.
All right, folks. Welcome to the Doghouse. And if you're not checking out the Doghouse Unhinged, it is available only on Patreon.com. That is Patreon.com/NTN. Check out the Doghouse Unhinged where we use bad words. Because we can't say them here.
I guess we do, huh?
Yeah, we use lots of bad words.
Yeah.
And we have to go from that to being back to being polite.
Yeah.
We can't use the seven words that aren't allowed to be on radio. Why? I don't know. I don't even know why.
We do occasionally, but Phil beeps them out.
Yeah, we're trying to be responsible about it.
We've been trying for 9 years and haven't reached that level yet.
Yeah, so. I don't know why.
Anyway.
I don't know why we keep trying.
Well, we have a good story we did and a good conversation about bots taking over the world. And there's
hopefully. All hell, Skynet.
All hell, Skynet. So make sure you check that out. That is Patreon.com.
The whole show, I was expecting Warren to do that, and he never did that.
I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, twice.
I have Warren deafness.
Warren filter.
Anyways, this past week we had America Flat Track at Castiglio Speedway. Castiglio.
Are you pronouncing that correctly, Phil?
That's somewhere in Arizona, right?
No, it's California, I believe, right? Calistoga? I don't know. Calistoga?
Oh, Calistoga.
Conestoga.
Oh, no.
I like for saying it the...
It's Calistoga.
I like saying it the Italian way.
Calistionia?
I know that it was over 100 degrees on the track, and that in the stands it was like 100 on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that they did not have the turnout you've seen in other races.
Well, it's kind of hard to sit out in 100-plus degree
temperatures. I know, but the turnout was still pretty decent. It looked like there was a couple thousand people there.
Yeah, I think they had like 8,000 people or something. They had a huge turnout, but it wasn't... I mean, they actually obviously had more people than at the Indy NASCAR race, right? But But it was hot, and they weren't a capacity crowd. But we had a hell of a race. Warren and I were talking a little bit before the show, and the track had like a pothole in it.
Well, it didn't at first.
It didn't.
The more they raced, the bigger that little... Started out as a little bump, but by the final race of the twins, it was a significant pothole.
It was a hump.
Was it possible that it was a hole that was already there and they filled it in and they were taking that stuff out, the material out?
Yeah, or it got compacted. You know, like when you put if you fill a hole and then you put water on it, it settles and sinks in. And you're riding the bikes on it, which pulls the moisture up, right? So I'm sure it just got gnarlier as the day went on, and it got gnarlier as the night went on. In the singles final.
At the very last lap. Well, no, it's before that last. Let's talk about before the last lap. There was a lot of good racing, and Shayna Texter was closing the door.
Yes.
Time after time. She started about third off the line, but before the first lap was over, she was in the front.
Yeah.
And she closed the doors on every challenge that came trying to get around her.
Yeah. Until?
Until towards the very end.
Until the very end. Where... It was a tank. You hit the hole. It was a tank slapper, right? It sent you for a ride, and she got sent for a ride and got shuffled back. I'm surprised she finished, right?
I mean, well, she won.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm glad
she finished fifth.
I can settle this argument.
Oh, okay.
Tanner Dean won.
Oh God, dang it! You're right. You're right.
Anyways,
beep beep.
Beep beep.
I said dang. Dang. I said
he
dang.
Did say dang it, but he said God and. For all our liberal friends out there, we will not mention God in our show. I don't know. but she finished fifth. I thought, you know, when when they were coming around and she hit that, I thought, oh man, it's going to be a mess. Her big rival Colby Carlisle was right up there with them and everybody. Brandon Price ended up second, Carlisle third, so he made up a little bit of points on her in the chase, and he actually lost some ground to Brandon Price, who came in second. But he's now 29 points behind her. They have a lot of rounds left, though. That's
do they
the
really?
They have 1, 2, 3. This was only round 11. They got 18 total. So they got 7 more rounds.
That's not enough of a lead.
They got the Buffalo Chip, then Black Hills, Peoria, Illinois, Williams Grove, Texas, and Paris Auto Speedway, which I don't know where that is. But they got France. A lot of... They got a Paris, not Paris. Oh, that's in California. I should assume that. But they have a lot of racing left, so that's not decided. Even though she has... Oh, I'm sorry. She has a 29-point lead that's still not decided. Right,
this is going to go down because there's some good racing going on in the singles.
Yeah, and it's pretty competitive. Although they have 4 miles in a row, I think, and Shayna Texter being small and little seems to do pretty good on those miles where it's drafting and speedway and less resistance down the stretch. So hopefully, I'm hoping that in 6-7 more rounds. We're declaring our first female pro motorcycle racing champion.
That would be great, especially if she could get on some of the morning shows.
Yeah, they won't do that because they hate they hate motorcycles. But that's about where we are in the singles. So I'm looking forward to that. Then in the twins, Jared Mees just looks dominating. He's won 4 of the last 5. His worst finish this year was a third, other than the one time he didn't make the finals.
There's only one way to stop him at this point. Only one way to stop him. Put him on a Harley.
Put him on a Harley. Yeah. and you know, Sammy Halbert looked really good. He won the X Games gold medal, but he was back on his Kawasaki this week, and he looked really good on it. I think in general he's having a good season. As of late, but he's
really
like,
the only non-Indian that's having a good season.
Yeah, he has like a couple good rounds and then crappy round.
The rest of the people are Indians? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Jim Warren's a racist.
Yeah, he is.
But anyways, they're winning.
And then I feel bad for Brad the Bullet, right? I like Brad the Bullet. I think he's a great racer. I think he's done a lot for the sport, like going over to race Marquez in Spain for the...
Why do you feel bad for him?
Because in the qualifying rounds, in the early rounds, he's the bullet. He's out there, he's fast, right. He's leading things. Mm-hmm. Then he gets to the final, and it's like he used up all his speed. Or everybody's sandbagging him, right? Because he's second, third, fourth, second, third, 1/16th, and one did not qualify. But, you know, he'd be having a great season, except for he hasn't managed to pull together the wins. You know, Mees on the Indian got 6 wins. Smith on the Indian got 4 wins. Baker in third in points, not a win. Not a win.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel bad, you know, like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, but I guess that happens, right?
Yeah.
So
you got to get the wins, right?
You got to get the wins. Winning.
I mean, you can stay close and competitive
points
without
is
the wins,
points.
But yeah.
Yeah, points is
points. It's kind of hard when you've got Mees out there racking up the points.
Yeah.
Right?
And Mees is racking up the points, and he's looking strong.
Yep.
Right? He's actually only looking stronger.
What's the differential on the standings now?
Mees is like 1,000 points up. I just closed
Just a couple races ago, they were tied, so
was before Mees pulled off 2 wins in a row. So Mees has an 18-point lead over Smith. And Baker's 53 behind Smith. And then Sammy Halbert has actually pulled within 1 point of Baker. It'd be sad if the Indian don't take all three, the top three spots. But Sammy Halbert, like I said, he's got a couple seconds, piled up a couple seconds in a row. If it wasn't for a couple bad races here and there, he'd be in the hunt. So
this is starting to look like Harley and the Hendersons.
It is starting to look like Harley and the Hendersons, but Harley is not showing up for this race.
Right.
So it's more like the Hendersons.
Yeah, just the Hendersons.
NBC did some decent coverage on the previous race, which they just showed this past weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're a week behind. I only thought there was going to be a few days behind, but they're a full week behind.
Well, what it is they started at the contract, they started at the beginning of the season, and they've been running it all the way through. So hopefully next, well, they're going to end up until not next week, because they'll be, by the time they hit Peoria, they'll be 2 weeks behind, because you got the Buffalo Chip, which I think is Thursday night, and then the Black Hills Speedway, which is Saturday night. So you actually have two flat track races next week. So they'll be further behind. Well, they'll be even. Well, no, because they'll show Calistoga this week, right? So they'll be caught up this week, but then they'll fall back again next week. So I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. Williams Grove. That's the only one I care about. Let's go to the local one. Road trip. Have hoopty. We'll travel. Let's go to Pro Motocross. That was at Washougal. In Washington, and then they got to travel all the way across the country to run at Unadilla in New York. So they got a big road trip this week. A little bit of surprises in the 250s. Mm-hmm. This guy Plessinger, who we talk about every now and then.
Every now and then.
And we thought he was going to do superiorly this at the beginning of the season. A couple of us said we thought he was going to do real well.
Well, that was just Warren by a couple. Yeah. Warren met him.
Yeah.
Finally gets a win.
My votes count for two. Yeah, you should know that by now.
See, Warren, you have to look at history. And history is he looks really good just before he doesn't look good.
Yeah, and Warren, you know, Warren had him pegged in the beginning of the season, knowing he'd get that race win.
You're right.
But he threw it away with a 9 in the second race.
Yeah,
I mean, he might as well not have shown up. Adam Ciancerola was on his way to taking the weekend, which I'm not sure he's done yet this season.
I don't think so.
And threw it away when Dylan Fernandez got past him to take fourth. So he ended up fourth overall. Joey Savacci claims the overall weekend and the win in race two, which...
That's because of us.
That is probably because of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach Osborne had a 4-3, and Dylan Fernandez had a 3-4.
He got very lucky with that 4, too, because he screwed something up and was like 22nd or 23rd.
Yeah, the first race, he started like everybody... It was like he started from pit road.
Yeah.
Everybody was gone, and then like he hit the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, but he raced his way through it.
And he was just a couple bike lengths from taking third.
Yeah.
If there'd been another lap, he'd have probably taken third.
Yeah, and the frog's legs were longer. Yeah. That's when it hit the ground when he jumped.
But he got the points for fourth, which helped.
But he needed those, right? That's no doubt that he definitely needed those.
Not going to help enough.
No, probably won't help enough.
Nope.
And that brings your championship standings to... That brings your championship standings in the 250s. Why am I not seeing the page I brought the championship?
Osborne's still in first place with 377.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. There we go.
So it did help. It helped him keep up. You know, it's better than 22nd place.
Everything's better than 22nd place.
Martin is in second with 303, and his brother Alex Martin, Jeremy Martin's in second, and Alex Martin's in third with 296.
Yeah, so the Martin brothers are looking... Like, they're just not going to cut it. I don't think they're going to cut it this year. I mean, neither of them looked impressive this weekend.
Well, Jeremy's 74 points behind, so.
It's going to be, it's pretty much over. It's pretty much over.
And then we had the spoiler alert. We said last week it could be the spoiler.
Yep.
Marvin Musquin pulls the double again.
Yep.
And look good doing it.
Yeah, look pretty dominant doing it.
This is going to be another one of those stories about how Tomac blew another championship.
It might be.
You know? No, you know, I think he's out far enough. If it was Baggett or Bogle or somebody else who didn't have all those not good weeks,
right?
I would worry about it. But I think. Crap, I can't think of it. Marvin Musquin now is far enough behind where I don't think it matters.
Yeah, he's 50-plus points behind.
Right? The big thing that helped Eli pulled the 2-2.
Right.
Balake Baggett was a 7-4, right? Mm-hmm.
Didn't help his cause much.
You know, if Baggett was a 1-1 and Marvin was a 2-2 and Eli was a 3-3, then you'd have something to worry about. But I just don't see... It looks
really bad, but we also know that any one of these guys is capable of having a weekend where they don't score enough points. And if you think about if somebody doesn't finish, they have a DNF in a race right now, 50-some points doesn't look so great.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, the lead, Tomac to Baggett, is only 32 points.
Yeah, so...
Right? It's one crash.
Right, one crash.
One crash, one malfunction.
One crash, and you're looking at, like, 7-point difference between them, right?
Yeah, one crash, one malfunction, you're looking that it could be down to 10 to 15 points.
And Tomac's proven this season that he can have a miserable weekend.
He can have a miserable weekend.
So. And it looks like... I mean, Marvin is healthy again.
Right. If Marvin starts... See, here's what I'm thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is what happened to Tomac in Supercross. Has he evolved, right? Is if Marvin Musquin starts racking up the first and putting the pressure on, does Tomac, instead of saying, all right, my seconds will get me the win, does he feel the pressure, right? I feel part of the reason he tossed away Supercross was instead of running for points, he ran for wins.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that, but can you look at it that maybe he did that this weekend? Because in the first race, after he got second position, he raced hard for about four laps trying to catch Marvin. And then all of a sudden, he seemed to back off, and Marvin got, what, a 17 or 18 second lead by the finish.
That's so, because somebody held up a sign that said, get the points.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. Right. That's what I'm asking.
So, somewhere
is he racing for the championship now? And I have to say, yes,
hopefully,
he is.
Hopefully, right? If he's smart. But he's still at a point where he kind of needs to push it a little bit because, like you said, one malfunction.
Yeah.
He's had, what, the brakes go out on him once this season already? Yep. And
yeah. It's not like he hasn't had problems. So that's kind of where... That's kind of where motocross. I mean, Tomac's still leading. Baggett's in second. Musquin's in third, and he's gaining, but I don't know. There's just not enough. He's right? They got Unadilla. They got Buds Creek.
He's likely to run out of time.
And they got the Iron Man.
He's less of a threat to Tomac than he is to Baggett right now.
Wow, we end motocross in August this year.
Yep.
They cut out one race, right? I can't remember what we said it was to begin with.
Quick.
Right. Well, it means there's going to be a bigger gap between motocross and supercross starting again this year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They need to have the Monster Cup. That Red Bull needs to do the Red Bull something.
In October.
You know, give us some stuff to watch in the in-between, because these guys don't need that big of a break.
No.
Right? That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Almost.
Oh,
almost.
I think he did.
No, it's a shh. Like, be
I think
quiet.
You should be. I think you should go back. And
no,
beep
I'm not going to beep it. I'm going to leave it. and then we have some news this week, as you know. And for those of you in the pool, make sure you get your picks in. We are going back. MotoGP will be hitting Bruno and the Czech Hookers.
Yep.
That would be a great hockey team name.
The Bruno Hookers.
Bruno Hookers, or the Czech Hookers, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Czech Hookers would actually be better. But they're going back, and they're going back with something we haven't seen in a while.
What could that be?
That's American racing.
America.
Mm. America. Joe Roberts was promoted to the AGR Moto2 team. Joe Roberts is fifth in points in the CEV Moto2 team for AGR. He's had a couple podiums and one illness that's kept him off a podium, but they felt like he would have had a podium if he hadn't been. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he was sick or hurt for that round. He's been doing pretty good there. He's a former 600 champ here in Moto America. He was last year's Super Stock 600 champ in Moto America. It's hard to know. But he's going to be riding the AG, taking Yanni Hernandez, who, if you're Yanni Hernandez, you've gotten your teeth kicked pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. You lost your MotoGP ride. You were in Moto2. Now you lost your Moto2 ride to a guy who was in CEV.
Yep.
Joe Roberts is 20 years old. He's from California. He's born in L.A. He was born in L.A. and he's been running the CEV Championship Moto2 with Jason Uribe this year. Mm-hmm. So he's been doing good. He's been on the Calix chassis. I don't know. You know, I know I watch it, but I don't know a lot about the Moto2 bikes in the CEV Championship. I don't think they're like a light prototype bike. I don't know.
No, they're not.
Right? They're more like just like a 600, right?
Well, they do. I mean, they do. They're sort of in between.
Yeah, they're like a. They're like a. I don't want to say an unlimited thing.
What are they? About 450, 500 cc, something like that.
Which ones? You talking about the Moto2s?
No.
The CEV Moto2s?
They're 600s.
Yeah,
they're 600s, but they got a lot of mods.
Yeah.
So, It looks like they're excited. It's not a great bike.
It's not a great bike, and it doesn't have much of a history, but then again, we don't know because it hasn't had very good riders on it recently, so
yeah.
We'll see.
Well, if he gets a top 15 finish, that's going to be a success.
Yeah, if I think he opens eyes with a top 15. The bike, Yanni Hernandez is in, what, 20th in points in Moto2. I think if he gets a top 15, if he gets a top 10, he lit the world on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I don't think there's any question about that.
He lit the world on fire.
When was the last time the AGR team posted someone in the top 10?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think they have.
So I think there's good potential. He's talked about some of these tracks have been ones that he's tested at or ridden at that mm-hmm. they're going to go to still.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good that he's not having to learn the tracks and stuff, that he's got some experience on them.
We should give him some advice.
We won't pick you in the pool.
We won't pick you in the pool. And stay away from check hookers.
Stay away from check hookers. I mean, he's 20. He probably is like, ooh, look at that girl over there. The check hookers are just bad. There's no reason to be around them. Well, I was looking for a good sound effect I had, but I can't find it now. It was about being riddled with herpes. and that's literally what I'm telling you about the check hookers, is you just want to stay away from them.
Obviously, he knows that from personal experience.
Check hookers?
We know that from Mark Marquez's incident with the check hookers a few years back.
Oh, I thought he meant Joe Roberts. I'm like, I'm pretty sure.
I'm talking about Phil.
Oh, me? Yeah, there's actually a chance that that's true. So I'll be glad to see an American out there, but I don't have like
high hopes.
Yeah, I want to see.
I'm actually surprised you said this, because you were so against Gagne riding on a subpar bike.
I'm against this too.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
you didn't say that, so I was wondering.
Well, you know, here's what I'm saying. Right,
mm-hmm.
is with him running CEV, he's getting the exposure over there, right? I feel that CEV has a lot more talent in it than Moto America.
But not more than Moto2.
No.
Right?
Right? So I figured
For him, I think it's a good move, because he's getting world level exposure. CEV doesn't give you that,
yeah,
really.
I think this is a good move. Where Jake
Gagne, it's a good training experience for him, if anything. Yeah,
so
right?
I was going to ask you, what do you feel is the difference between Gagne doing this and Roberts doing this?
Gagne's 27. Right?
Roberts is young enough that he could potentially, if he did well, someday see a MotoGP ride. Gagne would be unlikely to.
Right. Gagne would have to come out, light the world on fire, and win a race on a crappy bike to get a better ride. Right?
Right.
You know, that's one of the, I believe Gagne's 27. I'm probably getting an email saying he's 26.
Yeah, I think I was going to say, I didn't think he was that old, but that's okay.
I thought he was 27, but.
I thought he was pretty young.
Around here, anybody over the age of 12 must be old, because, you know.
24. All right. So okay, I was a little wrong on that.
So is that makes him too old? 24 makes him too old?
Well, kind of.
It's pushing the limits.
Twenty's pushing the limits.
Realistically, I was going to say 20's probably pushing the limits in Moto2 nowadays, because they're looking for young people that they can spend, you know, some time working their skills to find, you know, to hone their skills and then move into a MotoGP. Although it seems like they throw MotoGP rides out with anybody on Moto2 finishes in the top three, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't like the setup, right? I don't like that. We got an American going to a subpar bike, right?
Do you expect anything? Do you truly expect anything different for the time being?
No, I don't see anything changing in the future.
Well,
I would like anybody up there.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, I would like to know why it changed, because Americans used to get really good rides. Ben Spies got a really good ride. Nicky Hayden got a really good ride. They both had top tier rides in MotoGP.
Yes, and well, you know, here's the difference, mm-hmm. right? Is that you had a string of talented ride, right? Nicky Hayden got a good ride because people were remembering the Wayne Rainey, mm-hmm. right? They were remembering the early 90s where mm-hmm. Americans dominated.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like right now, there are Spanish guys getting rides that are above what they are, because the Spanish are dominating MotoGP.
For an American to get a top-notch ride in MotoGP, in my opinion, they've got to go the route that Spies did.
Right, they got to go win World Superbike.
They got to win in the U.S. They have to win a U.S. championship.
I don't think that matters. Right, this is the difference. Right, I don't think that matters. I don't think winning a Moto America championship matters at all to anybody in the world.
Not anymore,
right?
No, because the American Series is...
Because this ride went to Joey Roberts, who is running CEV, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not Joey Roberts who is... Right? He didn't get this offer as the American... As the American 600 champ from last year. He got this because he was fifth in...
Wait a minute. Was he the?
He was the 600 champ last year.
Super Sport.
Yeah, a Super Stock.
Super Stock. Okay.
Right. I believe he's
not Super Sport.
Isn't he also Kenny Roberts' son?
He may be.
Yes.
No clue.
Yes. But
that doesn't hurt.
Or gone up to Kenny Roberts. I don't know. I'll have to look.
Does Kenny Roberts own AGR Racing?
No. Spies lived off the going, like, okay, you had Doohan, you had Nicky Hayden, you had, what was the guy? Mladen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Spies was probably the last guy that caught the tail end of Americans being something in the world, American championship being a value in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
It was the last days of it being a non-privately owned series. It was a sanctioned by AMA.
Right, right.
And then that was, like, I think the last year or the year before the last year, I think.
The year before the last year.
Yeah, when he won the championship.
And then you had Josh Hayes, who was too old to move up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now you have you don't have anybody, right? Until they put a nail in that coffin and pass them, and you had Heron go over and not do so great.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think in general, nobody takes our championship serious outside of the world. We're not producing good riders.
Can't argue against that.
I mean, it certainly appears that way. Heron was the last AMA rider to win a championship to go over to race.
Right, and he didn't get a good bike, right?
No, he got
an AGR,
bike.
Right? Wasn't that an AGR?
It was a Caterham.
Oh, yeah, Caterham.
Yeah.
You're right.
That was the one and done team. Remember?
Right,
they didn't even finish the season.
Right. So this is. I'm glad there's going to be an American. I don't think this is the beginning of great things to come.
I hope we're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I really hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking Joe Roberts at all. I he's a tremendously talented kid. We've seen him run.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's doing well. I just don't think. I don't think this is the bike that he prospers on. The same with Jake Gagne,
well,
right? I never felt that bike that Jake Gagne rode wasn't a great bike.
No, but here's the hope. The hope is he does better than people expect and gets on a better bike next
year. Yes, right. And that's what I'm hoping for. Right? Right. I'm not hoping for him to get on the podium this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping he finishes the race this week.
I'm hoping he gets a point. He scores a point.
Yeah,
if he
scores a
that's
point,
what I'm hoping.
I'm
for.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
If in
two rounds, right? They got what, 7 rounds left.
Mm-hmm.
If in two rounds he can get that bike to 13th,
mm-hmm.
it's a win.
Yeah,
it's a win. If he can get it to 13th, he opened up eyes where maybe he'll get a better ride.
What's the best finish that bike's had so far? Do you know, or have you looked?
I don't know.
The problem is, even if it's had a top 10, you have to look at all the different issues associated with it. You can't just judge it based on that at all.
There might be crashes and other things.
Yeah, it could have been a rain time.
And Yanni Hernandez is not a bad rider.
No, he's not.
He ran MotoGP on a.
And the fact that he did not do very well on that bike does not give me a very warm and fuzzy feeling about that bike.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. Like even though he was coming out of a CRT team in MotoGP,
mm-hmm.
right, he still was running MotoGP.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
right, which means he can ride.
Right,
and the fact that he's in 20th in points on that bike says to me either he cut a deal to develop the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they want to start bringing in who they want to. Now, are they bringing in who they want to replace him with on it next year? Are they trying to get a feel for what Americans ride like, right?
Well,
there's no economic value to bringing Robertson.
Let me ask you this question. So did he sign on to finish the season out?
Yes.
Okay, that's
finishing
important.
To me, that's important.
That's very important.
Right? Another thing that was bad about Jake Gagne is that was a one-and-done race.
Yep.
Right.
Right? I didn't like that.
Now, didn't they just hire the full-time guy over this break?
If they did, I missed it.
Okay.
If it's happened. I know there's been some rumors and stuff, but if it's been signed, I missed it because I've been moving this week and I've been busy and I haven't had internet.
That's your problem.
That is my problem.
That causes us to have a problem.
But it's all my fault. But I would like to see Joey Roberts do good on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my hopes up, right? It's not like I was excited when Josh Herron went because he was Josh Herron. Right, mm-hmm. because it was like, hey, an American champ, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, plus we all thought he got a raw deal.
He got a raw deal,
mm-hmm.
right? And I feel like the deal offered to Roberts isn't much better. I don't see the team folding, but it's not a good bike, right? They don't have the money.
You have to look at it as a stepping stone for him getting on a better bike.
And it might be a stepping stone for Americans. Here's what I'm looking at, right? We got PJ Jacobson, who took a not so great ride in the MV Agusta, but you know,
not so good ride, Phil. Do you really want to restate that?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
because I think PJ's more of the fault at not being a good ride than the bike.
Ooh.
He's crashed a couple times. It hasn't finished. You mm-hmm. can't blame that on him. But he's qualified. He's been on the pole a bunch of times, and he's not finishing races. And I can't always blame the bike.
Yeah, but you know qualifying isn't racing.
I understand that, but I can't. When you're qualifying first and you're finishing consistently fifth, sixth, seventh.
Where's his teammate finishing?
It doesn't matter.
Well, it means something.
Not a lot.
I think it means something.
Where does Marquez's teammate finish? Where does Pedrosa average finish?
Pedrosa's a good points getter.
Where does DeViciosa's partner finish? DeViciosa wins races. His partner is 48 bikes back in an 18 bike field.
I think that might be a special condition. It has to do with quitting.
You know, I don't, and I like PJ Jacobson. He was a great guest. Everybody knows that I root for him all the time, but I can't blame the MV Agusta completely on MV Agusta.
I don't think you can say that because he's crashed a few times that it necessarily doesn't involve the bike.
No, I didn't.
It may be a kind of bike that getting the setup right is nearly impossible.
Yeah, but he's also had a lot of racing finishing on two, right? That one race, he was in the lead three times and he overcooked turns and ended up going wide three or four times. That's not the bike's fault.
Well, you can't say that, Phil, because you don't know. Maybe the brakes weren't good on that bike. And that's how you overcook turns a lot of times, right? You can't slow down enough going to a turn, and you end up having to go wide.
He's just being curmudgeon with you.
Well, normally, he's the first person to bash somebody.
Not PJ Jacobson. I really, you know,
I hit a nerve there.
You know, I was the first person to say that I thought it was a bad deal for him going on MV.
I do. I know, and I was hoping that it was good enough for Yakima. It was good enough for PJ.
Yeah, that whole 70-year difference, I think.
Yeah, I guess difference. So. But this is, hopefully it'll give, you know, I mean, we got Jason Uribe, we got, obviously Kenny Noyes isn't racing anymore, but there are some Americans racing over on foreign soil, right? And I think the next moto...
It's a better place for them to be than here.
Yes, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm hoping Kenny Roberts does well mm-hmm. and opens some eyes so that at least some of our boys that are racing overseas... Hey, you want to come try this bike?
I hope so.
You want to do this, right? Because I don't think anybody's looking. And I'm not doing this to bash Moto America. I'm mm-hmm. just saying this as fact. I don't think anybody's looking at our paddock saying, "That's the guy I'm going to take for my open seat."
Let me ask this question.
Not right now.
I'd be curious to see what your answer to this question is. Who do you think that's currently racing Americans that are racing, whether they're racing in AMA or they're racing in CEV or any other race series, including British, any of the British series, who we really think has got a chance being on the right bike, winning at the world level?
You're going to say that's just you being a fanboy, but I want to justify this.
Okay, go ahead.
JD Beach.
Fanboy.
Okay.
I've always said of JD Beach for how many years now, mm-hmm. I think you could put J.D. Beach on a bicycle. Anything with two wheels, I think J.D. Beach would be competitive. Here's why I like J.D. Beach in that situation. Mm-hmm. Right? If you were to say to me, Phil, we got a... Zarco's stepping off the bike, and we can put somebody on the Tektuai Yamaha,
mm-hmm.
right? Even though J.D. Beach, you know, is a Yamaha guy, and that's has nothing to do with it, but a bike that we know can win, mm-hmm. a bike we know can be competitive,
sure. mm-hmm.
right? J.D. Beach rides very similar to the European style,
mm-hmm.
high speed entry, let the bike slide through the corners, which most Americans don't. Most Americans slam down on the brakes and grunt out of the corners, right? J.D. Beach can slide it. I think if J.D. Beach, and if J.D. Beach is listening, or you're a fan of J.D. Beach or a friend of J.D. Beach, tell him this. I think J.D. Beach needs to go over and race the Super Prestigio this winter.
Mm-hmm.
I think J.D. Beach needs to go spank the world. And I think if J.D. Beach runs the Super Prestigio and gets a top three in that, you'll see him on a Moto2 bike. Right? Because the only thing they respect of America right now in Europe is our flat checkers. That's the only thing they respect. They don't respect our American road racers. Nobody's scared of them. But what do they talk about? Oh, you see that guy on flat check? You see that? Right? Rossi, Marquez, they all respect the flat checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Hayden. Hayden was a great flat. When we saw the statements about Hayden, they all talked about his flat track. J.D. Beach can flat track. J.D. Mm-hmm. Beach can supermoto. J.D. Beach can run.
So that's the only one that you think that's got a chance?
Right now, yeah.
What about his teammate?
Nope.
You don't think Gerloff, really?
I don't think Gerloff, on the way they set the bikes up over there, would be as successful. Hmm. You ask me who
I
thought.
What about mm-hmm. Gerloff on the World Superbike?
No, I think all European racing has changed to be slippery, right? Like J.D. Beach gets faster as the tires go away. Gerloff, when the tires go away, doesn't.
Well,
right? Who do you think?
I hate to tell you this. I don't think any of them. That's what I'll tell you.
Listen, you said pick one.
No. I said
if you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one?
You had to pick one.
If I absolutely had to pick one. God, that's tough because I really don't believe that any of them has a chance. I guess I couldn't argue with J.D. Beach, either him or his teammate, but I really don't think they can.
What about Gagne?
No, I don't think Gagne. I don't think so.
Warren, anybody?
I would go Gagne or Beach. And Gerloff, I think he would do okay at World Superbike.
See, I don't see Gerloff ever being better than sixth place.
Hmm.
And I'm not knocking him. I think the style's different. I don't know.
I don't think J.D. Beach will ever get that ride.
I don't think he will. I'm going to say it again. His only chance at getting a ride is to go over and race the Super Prestigio.
And get some attention.
Well, because of the other stuff that goes along with the Super Prestigio.
I don't think anybody, if he went over there and he got in the top three in the Super Prestigio, I don't think it would make a difference.
Well, here's what would make a difference, mm-hmm. right? He's a Yamaha guy.
Right.
What did Baker do? What did some of the flat trackers that went over to the American flat trackers that ran over to race the Super Prestigio? Mm-hmm. What did they do the week before? Where were they? Rossi's Ranch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Running supermoto against Rossi. I think Rossi sees J.D. Beach, picks up the phone and goes, "Give this guy a test ride."
Right, but where are they going to put him? They're not going to put him on the MotoGP bike.
No, but they might make a deal with a Moto2 team and say put him.
There's no Moto2 Yamaha team.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but that wouldn't stop them from calling up somebody else and saying, "Hey, you know, we're gonna help you out, or we're gonna do this." And
they could do that, but I just don't think that American riders get enough respect. I think our best
hope, and that's what I'm saying. He's got to travel.
I think your best hope in the Moto2 world is that Kenny Roberts impresses people.
Joey Roberts.
I'm sorry, Joey Roberts. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I made that mistake like 40 times when I was writing my notes.
Yeah, I know.
I kept writing Kenny Roberts. I'm like,
I'm still waiting Tony Dungy to do that.
Yeah, Tony Dungy. Well, you know, he's starting a new show called Harley and the Hendersons. But to make a long story short, they're racing at Bruno this week. Make sure you get your picks.
And there's usually some pretty good.
Yeah, it's usually pretty good racing.
It's going to be a tough one to pick this
Rossi's
week.
Rossi's got like three or four podiums. I think you have to go back to 13 before you find him fourth.
Once Marquez got married, he actually started winning there too. So don't forget about
Marquez.
Yeah,
no, I know. So there's a whole bunch of different things going on there. Warren, anything to say?
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Surprise, surprise, surprise!
All light!
Non, danke.